Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today we're doing a part two of this thing that everybody's calling the loneliness epidemic.
Yes, the loneliness epidemic.
It's just me. That could use some rebranding. I don't.
Yeah.
It's too on the nose.
It's too personal. It hurts a little bit.
It hits home a little too close.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, especially with the epidemic, and then there's just flashbacks to being locked in
the
house.
Pandemic, yeah, the epidemic and loneliness. It's like, you don't got to put it right in front of her face. You could be like, hey, how about you call it the, like, I don't have really great friends epidemic.
I think that one's worse.
Or I don't have someone that wants to cuddle with me and go to dinner with me epidemic. That's too specific.
Okay.
All right. Anyways, moving on. We're doing a part two of the I wish my life was different epidemic. Is that probably the best way to put it?
Yeah, that's better.
It's more realistic expectations. And so what we're going to do is we're going to focus on a few different categories because, as you guys know, during the holidays, there's lots of reasons to get lonely. And there's also lots of reasons to want to avoid social situations because sometimes the holidays are not happy. And if you know what Hallmark cards are, if you're old enough to remember the old Hallmark days, Hallmark that makes, you know, greeting cards and stuff, they've done like Christmas specials and, you know, and Oxygen channels. By the way, for you younger people out there listening to this, that's a TV show. That's a cable channel that you've never heard of unless you're in the holidays and you turn it on. You're like, hey, isn't that like an old washed up actor starring in this movie? And it's always a single dad and a single mom.
Small town.
The dad comes in
from the big city.
Yeah. The dad has a dog that gets lost and the mom finds a dog and then they take care of it. And then the kids fall in love with the dad and they live happily ever after.
Right? Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the holidays aren't like a Hallmark card episode. Well, if they are, great, you got lucky. But for most people, holidays can be challenged with a lot of different types of feelings. I know for myself, I know for my producer, Brandon, the holidays sometimes can give you lots of happiness and give you something to look forward to. And simultaneously, it could also give you things that you want to avoid, you want to get out of. But you know, if you don't go, it may cause more problems, more drama in your family, in your friend group. So we're going to touch upon a few of those things today. I'm going to share with you guys a couple of my ideas and thoughts, what have worked for many of my clients throughout the years. And as you know from the disclaimer, I'm not giving you therapy, not giving you advice. I'm just sharing what has worked for other people and suggestions during the holidays, because the last thing you want to do during the holidays is become more depressed if you're already depressed. If you're grieving from the death or loss of relationships, which we'll be talking about a lot today, you don't want to like just stir the pot of that. You don't want to get in your own head too much about that. So we're going to give you some suggestions how to avoid overthinking, how to avoid overfeeling, and how to try to make the best of the holidays. And if possible, make it a holiday worth remembering. Okay. So Brandon, what are some of the topics you think we should address with the loneliness epidemic? Because there's tons of them, but specifically for the holidays, I think there's at least two or three that are more common.
I mean, I would say like, grieving relationships during the holidays, grieving a loved one, or even, let's say, in my family, is I'm the oldest on my mom's side, or second oldest of like 20 plus grandkids, but most of us are all grown up, and the holidays aren't, oh, we're all going to get together like we used to, because people are getting married, they've moved, different stuff. So there's also grieving what you used to do in the past when you're with your families.
Got it. Well, let's start with the grieving the death of the family that you wish you were going to have, but it's not turning out that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Could be through divorce. It could be maybe you're a kid in a family and you're old enough to drive, so you technically could escape and get out of the parties.
Yeah.
Or if you're an adult that maybe got some beef or some drama in your family going on, or maybe you might have gotten caught up in some differences. Especially after the election, maybe there's some worries or concerns that there's going to be like some strife, some drama because of the outcome of the election. Whatever it may be, my suggestion for you is to do a holiday heat check. What a holiday heat check is I want you to communicate and reach out to the different people in your family or your friend group. So let's talk about a family get together and let's talk about a Friendsgiving, like instead of a Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving. A lot of people nowadays, especially people in their 20s and 30s, they'll do Friendsgivings. I've actually did it once before. I think I was 27 years old back in the days when I was living on the beach and I was much tanner. I was in better shape and I was eating much better food, but that's for a different time.
You don't need to brag. We knew you grew up in Carlsbad, California.
No, I was dissing on myself. Okay, I said I was much tanner. I was in much better shape and I ate much better food. And then I started getting sad. Now I'm grieving the death of those holidays.
Some of us are 28 in Utah, man.
Oh, see, I'm sorry. I can't say anything without hurting my producer's feelings.
I'm sensitive.
So back to the topic. If you're having a Friendsgiving and you want to hang out with your friends, but you're worried about some people that might be there, again, could be political issues. It could be maybe dating relationship drama. Maybe you're one of those people that have a friend group. So like it's like an episode of Friends on TV where you just kind of like all date the same people. And it's kind of like, well, whose turn is it? Right? Like, it's like, I'm going to date you. Now let's switch. Lots of people have those types of friend group relationships where they commonly date people within their own inner circle. And then the other example I'm referring to, I'm going to talk about is with family. And so if there's drama in your family or you're worried about the outcome of the election being talked about, you don't want to get into it, or you know a family member there is going to want to get into it, a holiday heat check is something very simple. The people that you're close to in your friend group, the people that you're close to in your family, I want you to reach out to them. And I want you to tell them what your concerns are, what are you worrying about, and get a vibe from them to see what they feel and what they think. Maybe one of them has the same concerns, or maybe one of them can pacify your concerns, or maybe one of them can give you some inside information to help you make a decision. Now, just to be clear, I said this on an episode recently, I would prefer in an ideal world, everybody to go to their friend get-togethers and everybody go to their family get-togethers during the holidays. But as this episode has already, you know, alluded to, there could be some complications with you wanting to do that because of the people you may run into and the conversations that may come up. I totally get it. I totally understand. However, we don't get that many holidays in our life. I look at like Christmas time kind of like summers. How many more summers do I have? How many more Christmases do I have? Now, when I was younger, I never thought about that. But a friend of mine mentioned that to me one time. He's older than me. And I was telling him about like I couldn't go surfing with him just this past summer. And I said, oh, man, you know, I'll catch you next summer. And he goes, well, you're 50 years old. You only have about this many summers left where you can enjoy surfing. And I was like,
ooh.
I was like, what? I'm like, I never even thought about that. I was like, don't wish that on me. He's like, dude, I'm older than you, so that's why I'm thinking about it. So ever since I thought about that, I can't get it on my head.
That's
so
painful.
Now I'm thinking about like Christmas is that way. And I got kids. I'm like, man, like I am getting older because I'm thinking about I don't want to miss out on these opportunities. So for you 20, 30-year-olds out there, or even you teenagers out there, you may not think about it. And I'm not telling you that you have to think about it a lot. However, if you're having any sort of resistance to going to family or friend get-togethers over the holidays, I want you to reach out to people in your friend groups and people that you're close to in the family. And I want you to tell them your concerns. I want you to talk to them, hoping that'll give you information to try to find a way that you might be able to show up at least for a little bit. You might be able to show your face. Maybe you can say, hey, you know, when I get there, can you just make sure if you see so-and-so, auntie or uncle so-and-so come up, start talking to me, can you just come run interference for me? Because I don't want to get into them. I don't want to get into it with them. You'd be surprised how many people I've told this to throughout the years. In fact, before this episode, I was like, gosh, what should I talk about? And then I was reminded of the holiday heat check that I don't think I've talked about it on a podcast ever. I don't think I've ever said this on a podcast, but it's helped out a lot of my clients. It's just like doing due diligence. It's just doing a little bit of research. Here's what typically happens. Someone says, hey, are you coming to the, let's say there's a group text. Hey, are you coming to the party? And then you sit there and go, oh, I don't know. You think about it. You think about it. Weeks go by. The group text is going on. And you look like the person who's trying to avoid the party because you have not responded to the group text. Because in your own mind, you're going back and forth where I should go, I should not go. So here's what I want you to do. First step, holiday heat check. Check what's going on with everybody. Hey, is there going to be a party here? Just kind of mentally prepare yourself what you might be walking into. And then once you figure out, yeah, they're going to do it this time, okay, whatever. As soon as you get the group text, as soon as someone reaches out to you about if you're going to attend, I want you to be the first person to reply with a yes. Now, I've had plenty of my clients tell me like, wait, I don't even want to go to this party. Why would I be the first person to respond with a yes? And I always tell them what I'm going to tell you, because you're smart. See, here's a little cheat code for you. The person that responds yes first is actually the person who has the best excuse to getting out of it at the last minute, in case you needed to. Because no one would think that the person who said, yes, what can I bring, this and that and the other, that person is not a person that the person who's putting on the party. If you've ever put on a party, you send out the invitations and you're like, well, who's going to come? And then the people that respond back, you know what you think about them? Oh my gosh, bless their heart. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I got a couple people coming. Everybody's okay. They're going to bring food or they offer to bring something. So you take a deep breath and a sigh of relief to know that your efforts are going to be appreciated, that people respond to your text. When someone responds to your text quickly about a party, that's a show to you, the person who's putting on the party, that they care, they respect your time and your efforts. It's the people that don't respond that you keep on having to say, hey, you're going to come? You're going to come? And what most people do that are throwing the parties, they make the mistake of asking the person multiple times on the group text. That throws shade on that person, shaming them if you're not familiar with that terminology. And that person then gets more agitated. You know, their response might be like, yeah, I'll come, or sure. Like something that pisses off everybody in the group chat. If I hadn't had deep conversations with multiple families and people throughout the years, I wouldn't be giving you this much detail. This detail comes from a lot of people telling me that the person that doesn't respond right away, it's agitating, irritating. So what you do is you respond first or as quickly as you can, tell them, thank you, great. And then you decide later on, after you've done your due diligence, your holiday heat check and all those things, if you're going to happen to catch COVID or not. Right? Because let's say at the last minute you chicken out. Let's say you say, forget that guy on the podcast, forget his suggestions. I'm just going to just not go. Well, if you never responded and you don't show up, your reputation's not looking that good. People will be talking about you. You're going to feel uncomfortable next time you see those people. If you're the first person to respond and you choose not to go at the last minute and you make up an excuse, you're not going to be seen as a person who is being disrespectful. You're not going to be seen as a person who doesn't care about their time and efforts. You're going to be seen as a person who just legitimately got sick. Brandon, what do you think about the holiday heat check and also the be the first to respond?
I think the holiday heat check, I think first off is good to know what you're getting yourself into. And also too, is sometimes you'll build up something bigger in your head than what it really is.
Ooh, good
so
point.
To talk to somebody like, hey, I'm feeling about so-and-so with this, this, and this. And your cousin, your friend may be like, well, actually I had a conversation. They don't feel that way about you. They may have in the past. So you may be able to get a gauge of, oh, it's actually more mild to go with them this time because I now have inside information on it. So I think it's good for that to help make a decision. Also too, is let's say if you don't go there, it's always nice to have somebody to have your back to be, if somebody does have beef with you, you don't show up and they go, oh, so-and-so didn't show up. Brandon didn't show up. And you can have somebody be like, well, actually they reached out to me. They wanted to come. And then you have an ally in that situation. Just to help diffuse it because the worst thing that happens is getting your reputation murdered when you're not there to defend it. So it's always nice to have people there for it. The other thing too with responding yes to being able to show up for people, that is great. I think that's awesome. Also too, I think it's a line of you should do it though with knowing that I'm saying yes, not always with the intent of I'm going to bail.
Yeah.
I'm saying yes because I'm going to find every reason to go. And if I do my heat checks, if I do these things and it turns out that it's not best for me to go, then I can bail because the other thing you don't want to have happen is develop the reputation of I say yes every single time. So it should be a habit. If you're going or not, say yes. Try to find every reason to go. And if you can't go, then bail because then everybody's going to dismiss your yeses. And then the whole purpose of what we're telling you is defeated.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about that last point because my first thing that I said is I really do want everyone to try to find a way in instead of a way out of holiday parties. And the reason being is that we're talking about the loneliness epidemic or my life is not where I thought I'd be at this moment epidemic.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you look at it that way, it's easy during the wintertime, less sunlight, you know, the holidays, like I said, can get people in their feelings because they've lost relationships in the past. Things haven't gone their way. It's easy to find a way out instead of a way in. By being the first one to commit, it does kind of give you that gentle nudge to, I don't know if I want to go, but I already said I would go. And the last minute's like, it's too late to bail now. I'll just go. And the holiday heat check, another good point you said about that is that if you find out some of your homies are going, or a family member, your one cousin that you like to hang out with,
yeah,
okay, now it's not that bad. But you're right. If you make it out to be more in your head because you know the person who's throwing it maybe is your parent or your sister or your brother or someone that you fight with, just because it's at their house, just because it's not the place you ideally want to go, I really get nervous, especially in the way our country's going right now, when families are finding more ways to get out of having time together than they are of being around each other. Once you're around your family, not always, but it can get easier. The more you avoid your family, it's hard to reconnect with them. And I admitted this in a podcast recently, that I'm kind of a hypocrite in this. Everybody's got their own challenging situations. I make all my wife's family get-togethers and Christmas parties and all that stuff like that. Some of my family lives out of the state. The people that do live in the state, for whatever reasons throughout the years, there's a lot of family drama. I made the decision for my own current family to not go to certain parties because I don't want to drag my wife and my kids into it. It just wasn't fun for them. So, you know, if I do with my wife's family and everybody else, my friends, I do what I'm saying for you guys to do. Like, I actually say, hey, I'm the quickest one to respond. But like Brandon said, not because I'm like, now I can get out of it. I just know if I respond quickly, I don't have to overthink it.
Yeah. And I think too, is the more time you take to respond back to somebody, it gives people who invited you more time to come up with scenarios on why you're not responding.
Oh yeah.
And then by the time you do respond, they've may have built, you know, a whole novel series. They've written the whole Lord of the Rings on why you're not showing up. And then even if you do show up, they just have a bad feeling about, they didn't really want to be here. I was the last second resort. I'm just here. Like, responding quickly when you're invited to something. Or if you truly can't go, be the first person to say, I would absolutely love to go. I can't because of this, this, and this. And give it in a statement form of, this is why I can't go. It's nothing personal to you. I'm going to make up for it. Let's plan another time to hang out.
I've done that so many times in my mind. I'm like, oh, I can't go. Shoot. I'm like, I want to go. Like, and then I don't respond.
And that hurts. That sucks.
Then when you say you can't go, then it looks like you're just making crap up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's touch upon the other one, or the other one I think is important is the grief during the holidays. So we're going to be talking about two: actual death grief. If you've been unfortunate enough to lose loved ones in your life, and as you get older, you're going to lose loved ones in your life, family, friends. If that's been a part of your past, and because of that, it makes the holidays that much more painful, then I'm going to focus on that for a second. But also, too, the loss of just relationships where they're not dead. You just wish they were. I'm just kidding. They're not dead. In fact, you're like, when are you going to die? Okay, just joking. Okay, just joking. Don't want your family members to die. However, some relationships feel like you'd rather like have someone scratch your eyeballs out than go be around those people. Or maybe you can't be around them because it's a real breakup. Like, it could be a divorce. It could be a breakup of friends and family. And like, you know, you're not invited to certain areas. And so you try to avoid just people in general. So grieving during the holidays, my best advice or suggestion for grieving during the holidays, if you've lost a loved one, is to do something I know it's going to sound cheesy, to do something to honor that person, or as I like to prefer to call it, to do something that's an inside thing between you and that person. So for example, I can't do it right now because I'm not in Carlsbad or California, but when I go home during the holidays, I go to a very special restaurant. One of my best friends that helped me out through a hard time in my life, she died of cancer, a very rare cancer. She got it, and 3 months later, she died, and this was a few years back. And so every time I go home, I go to an amazing Italian seafood restaurant. Brandon's been there with me before.
Jay's Gourmet.
Ooh. Big shout out to Jay's Gourmet in Carlsbad, California. If you ever go there, my homie Ashley, Hayden, miss you, Ashley. All of your family and friends miss you. Your son Donovan miss you. Every time I go back over the holidays, I go there and I order a very special thing. She was the girl that worked there for years. She was friends with everybody. When I was a broke guy in graduate school, I'd go there and she's working. I'm like, could I please have some free bread? And she'd give me like, oh, here's freaking sick. She'd give me free food there all the time. It was amazing food. Sorry, Jay's. She was helping out a broke friend that was 20 years ago. She's dead, so you can't do anything about it now. Plus, they loved her too. She was a superstar. Everybody loved her. So, but what I do is I go there and I order that meal and I cry. Like, I just deal with it. I face it. Throughout the year, I don't want to do it. But when I'm there, I'm like, no, I need to do that. Like, one of the worst things for me as someone who's still being alive, and I think people have thought about this throughout history. That's why they used to get so many men to go to war, be like, you'll be remembered. They'll sing songs about you. Back in those days, like, people died all the time. Like, wait, I'll be remembered. They'll sing songs about me. So you can get people to go do things they wouldn't normally do because people want to be remembered. And so when you're grieving, tell the stories. Like when Brandon went with me there one time, we sat down, Scotty, one of the other waiters that's been there for a long time, OG surfer buddy of mine. He just sat down with us at our table and we ate the food that I would eat. And I think he had her favorite meal and we told funny stories and we cried. We told funny stories and we cried. So doing that during the holidays, just remembering the people and doing the things that was just between you and special with them, that is what I suggest all my clients throughout the years to do. Is it hard? Yes. Do you want to avoid it? Sometimes you may want to avoid it, but while you're doing it, after you're doing it, it replaces the hurt and pain and grief with remembrance and with love. And life's all about memories and having great emotional memories. Now, on the other side of it, when you go through a divorce or a breakup, I don't know if you want to open up that scab and that wound. And I don't know if you want to listen to all your favorite, you know, playlists from that relationship or go to your favorite restaurants. That might be, you know, poking at the wound a little bit too much. However, though, when it's during the holidays and when you're trying to just not be sad the whole entire time because you went through a loss of a relationship, this one's actually more difficult. But I suggest you write a letter to that person. Now, don't send it to them. But it's called a past, present, future letter. What a past, present, future letter is, you just simply write as if like you're talking to them. Say, hey, I just want to tell you it's the holidays. I'm sad. I miss you. And I just want to tell you I love you for all these reasons. And these were these things that we went through together. And because we went through these together, I have good memories of you. Right now in my life during the holidays, it's hard because I do miss those times. And even though we're not going to get back together and we went our own separate ways, I just want to let you know that you were a very important part of my life. I still think about you. Just give some details about how they've influenced you, even in your day-to-day life. It's like, I still wear these shoes because you turned me on to those cool shoe companies, or I still go, you know, this is still my favorite movie. You know, just, I still love this artist. Just let that person know how the past relationship with them has actually had a positive influence in your present life. And then the last paragraph, the future part of it, just say, and having said all those things, I know that we're going to have to move on. I'm going to have to move on. And so I just want to wish you the best future. I love you. I miss you. Whatever is appropriate for that particular relationship. And just end it with, thank you for everything that you gave me. I'm a better person. Despite all the hard things we went through and it didn't work out, I appreciate all the experience, everything that we had with each other. Close with the letter. Now, I've had many people write this letter during the holidays, and I'd say about 50-50 send it. Some people keep it and just don't send it. If you do decide to send it, make sure it's handwritten. Make sure it has some sort of like loving Hollywood, holiday vibe to it. Not Hollywood vibe, but loving holiday vibe to it. Not Hollywood, but you get what I'm saying. And the people that have sent those out to, you know, their exes usually got a soft response back. I can't recall every single one, but the majority of the ones that I can remember, they were glad they sent it. Some people said they cried so much, the tears smeared the ink on the pen or whatever. It was like, they're like, man, I feel like I need to go to therapy after that. But the reason why I think the past, present, and future is so important is because the ghost of Christmas past. Mm. Actually, this is a therapeutic technique I learned in college, but when I was watching the old, you know, Ghost of Christmas Past, what's the name of the movie? It's Scrooge or what? I forget. You guys know the holiday movie, right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. They talked about the ghost of past, present, future, and then the person comes to appreciate their current everyday relationship. So for all the people that have written this letter, and I know something similar will happen with you, when you write a letter like this, it buries that and puts it to rest, but respectfully. It's not like, hey, let's bury the body or throw the body, throw that relationship in the river to never be talked about again. To properly grieve something, you have to pay the respect to it and you have to give it its due. And so writing a past, present, future letter, it does properly put it to rest. And then once you put that to rest, now you can give your time and attention to your current present day life, to your kids, to your family, to your job, whatever it is. And you don't get so caught up on what you don't have anymore. You get more caught up about what you got from the past and how it's affected you in a positive way moving forward. It's all how you spin it. It's all how you look at it. Now, if you choose not to take any of this advice and you are struggling, let's say you listen to this podcast, you're struggling like, oh, I can't do this because it's too hard, or I can't do this because it's too complicated. I get it. I don't blame you. And at the same time, it doesn't mean that I'm not right also. There's only one way for you to know, for you to try it out.
I was going to say, with that letter, writing about the past, present, and future, I think sometimes what can happen is when you're either grieving a relationship or you're just dealing with that hurt and pain, if you demonize the entire thing, I think you're also demonizing a part of yourself that was in that relationship. You can always look back in hindsight. Why didn't I know? Why didn't I see this red flag? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't this happen? If you don't put it to rest and be like, oh, well, I learned stuff, or I was turned on to this food, or these things happened, I think you have to be able to acknowledge that you only knew what you knew at that moment in time. And if you demonize the whole thing, you're also just beating yourself up. You can't heal and move forward on it. As much as you want to separate and close up that relationship, you have to give yourself credit for what you experienced during that time as well.
Agreed. Agreed. Well said. Well, you guys, that's all for today on the OG Therapy podcast. As always, you can follow us on all social media platforms under OG Therapy. Instagram's like OG.therapy, but if you put OG Therapy, you'll find us. My Instagram, David_KOZLOWSKI_. And until next time, be cool.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save big money at Menards. It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save